People have known for most of the century that the sounds that people use in language are special for each language. That is to say, there are only certain sound differences which are used, which are recognized by users of a language. These are called phonemic distinctions. They are not really things, they're not phonemes, they are phonemic distinctions. They are differences between things. And every language has certain differences between sounds with which it works. These differences, that's the phonemic distinctions, can be established in a very precise way. They can also be judged in an imprecise way, and one sees simply what works and what doesn't and so forth. But it is important to know that there are also testable procedures which make it possible to say for a language which are the phonemic distinctions that that language works with. And these testable procedures, it is important to know, do not require any prior knowledge about the language and do not require any knowledge of the meaning of the words. In fact, there are words that have utterly different meanings, like H-A-R-T and H-E-A-R-T, which have the same phonemes, which are not distinguishable. And in fact, they are not distinguishable as sound by sound elements. Now, the letters of the alphabet are a different thing that does the same work. By chance, we have available to us a system that is an approximation to the phonemes of a language. Given either the phonemes or the letters, it doesn't make that much difference which it is that we use. If we take sequences of these, those sequences which are indeed utterances of the language, and not sequences which are not utterances of the language, we are able to find by a stochastic method, meaning a method which checks the n plus one item on the basis of the preceding n items, it is possible to establish where are the word boundaries. This is done entirely on combinatorial grounds, sequentially, and we do not know what the words mean, but we know what the words are. We know which are the words. Of course, one might say, well, we know what the words are anyhow, not in their languages, and not precisely. There's a question whether A in a book is a word or is really some kind of a prefix, and so forth. And there are bigger problems in other languages. But even if we know what the words mean, roughly, it is very important to know that there is available a precise procedure if one has to argue a point, if one has to know, be sure what an element is. Now, if we have the data of a language in the form of words, because now we have words, in sequences, every utterance of a language is a sequence of words. The question now, we know that not all combinations exist. It is very easy to show many combinations of words which are not English, even though the words are English, but they're not English sentences. We couldn't know what it means. We don't know what because from because means or something like that. And I can give some other examples. When you think of this is therefore, all one has to do is to find the combinations of words. However, there are difficulties. First of all, the data is very vast. There are very, very many combinations of words. Secondly, grammar is fuzzy. Not all sentences, not all word sentences of the language are well defined. The set is not well defined. There are many marginal sentences, things that people will disagree whether something is a sentence or is not, or will not be certain, and so forth. Furthermore, words come in and out of the language, not very fast, but at a reasonable speed nevertheless. It is impossible to give a list of all the words. It is impossible to make sure that one combination or another does not exist. In a situation of this sort, there's something else that can be done. One can look for the constraints on combinations, meaning what it is that precludes certain combinations from occurring. What prevents the randomness of combination of words? It turns out that one can do this, that one can find constraints that are describable precisely. The fuzziness of grammar is located in a particular section of this because it is not in the definition of the constraints, it's in the domains of the constraints. So that this makes it possible to have at least part of the structure of language be completely precise. It further turns out that one can describe language with four constraints. These four constraints give both the form and the meaning, together with the word choices, of all sentences. I want to present the four constraints today, and I will give first, just to fix the ideas, a list of what they are. One constraint, the first, is a partial order that creates sentences, a partial order on word occurrences that creates sentences. The second is an inequality of frequency, a likelihood inequality, a frequency inequality that allows for meaning in words, for meaning differences in words. The third is a reduction of the phonemic shape, just the physical shape of words in sentences, and without changing the information of the sentence. And the last is a linearization of the partial order. That is all, and that will be found to be sufficient.